Earlier on this week, we launched a survey on News Talk Breakfast into how safe or unsafe women feel while walking along our roads in Ireland after dark. And the findings were stark, with 9 in 10 women saying that they do feel unsafe and uncomfortable walking alone. We also decided to ask the same question to female politicians, and the figures were also alarming. 73% of them said that they felt uncomfortable walking alone after dark as well. And joining me now to discuss the findings is Fianna Fáil Senator Erin McGreehan, Green Party Senator Roisin Garvey, and Junior Minister Josepha Madigan. You're all very welcome to News Talk Breakfast this morning. I might come to you first of all, Erin, if that is okay. Your reaction, I mean, it was very broadly the same what female TDs were saying to what women who contacted us, and almost 3,000 women did this survey, so it's a relatively big survey. 15% of female TDs have been attacked, over 2/3 of them have been verbally harassed, and almost 3/4 of them are also uncomfortable walking along after dark. What's your reaction to that? You guys are the ones who can maybe make a difference here.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it's no surprise that, you know, female politicians have this the exact same experience as normal women and women in Ireland, because, you know, we're all conditioned from an early age to know that the streets are dangerous, that to know that our dress matters, that it knows that, you know, maybe you shouldn't drink too much or you be careful who you speak to. So none of us were, I don't believe, shocked or surprised by the results of the survey. And I have to congratulate you all for doing that survey, because it's really, really important to highlight this. And I've listened to you in the past couple of mornings, and it's really, really important. And your anger is the same anger that we all feel about that and how unsafe we do feel. And it's not uncommon that we hold our keys in one hand, our phone in the other hand, that's just reality.
It's not uncommon, but it's not okay in my view. Can I bring you in, Roisin? Roisin, you yourself have had some bad experiences. You spoke about an experience you had when you were back in college where you felt very threatened.
Yeah, I suppose the worst thing about this is it feels like nothing's changed, and I just worry about what kind of message we're sending to our young women, because it was bad enough we'd deal with it maybe in the 80s and 90s, but to think that in 2021... the stats have not changed in any way. I mean, that's 9 out of 10 women saying they will never walk home alone in the night is just wrong. I mean, you know, there's some drastic measures. Well done on the research. Yeah, it was very straightforward. I was walking on my own one night back from being out in Galway. I think I was a first year in college, so I was a bit naive. I don't remember walking home on my own very often, but I was walking home this evening anyway. And all of a sudden, without me realising it, I was surrounded by a circle of 6 lads, probably my own age, maybe a couple of years younger. And straight away I felt it, just something hit me, and I was like, oh, Roisin, you are not in a safe place. And then they started walking around me and circling me, and then they started getting really, really close. And I felt like I was just a second away from it all going horribly wrong. And it was quite dark. It wasn't a lit up area. I probably hadn't thought about it at all in advance. I had been given no training or workshops or talks as a first year on thinking about to mind yourself and be safe and go to places where there's lights and stuff, which I always do ever since. But and they were just starting to physically push me and touch me, when I remembered the names of 2 lads that dressed just like these lads that I had invited into my house the previous Tuesday for Pancake Tuesday. It's so weird, because I was having a party in my house, and I saw these 2 lads I'd seen every night hanging out in the streets on their own with a ghetto blaster, looking really bored. And I just thought, why don't I invite them to the party? And I just remembered the 2 lads' names. And as soon as I said their names, the lads were like, oh yeah, they're our mates. We heard about that party. What are you doing walking out on your own, you idiot? And they walked me home safely. And it went from a circle around me to a line escorting me. It was just mad. It was the weirdest thing.
But you felt it could have gone the other way.
Oh, it was the darkest I've never felt so threatened.
Do you know what? Even as you told that story, I could feel my own fear levels rising, going, we've all found ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time where we suddenly know we're in trouble here. And that is the case. Let me bring Josepha in, Josepha Madigan. Josepha, you spoke, and I did think it was extremely powerful because of, I mean, you're a minister in the government, but you spoke about your own experience, and you have a history of sexual violence in the past as well. Your reaction to all of this?
Yeah, I mean, the survey was shocking in the extreme, although not a complete surprise, as both Erin and Roisin have said. I mean, simply, I'm not going to give obviously any detail about myself, but suffice to say, I should have been safe and I wasn't safe. And I don't want to live in a society where we have to mandate something like self-defense classes for every single female in order for us to feel safe. For me, the key to this really is about prevention. I think we need to look more at the root causes for these instances of sexual violence. So whether it's violent porn, whether it's computer games or videos or apps, which allow women ultimately to be dehumanized and disrespected. And I don't think that can be normalized. Education in schools, for example, consent, you know, talking about consent, about respectful communication with women. You'll know here that I've spoken many times about the referendum, about replacing the Article 41 to the Constitution, which to a certain extent may not seem pertinent to this conversation, but I actually think it is, because it's about women being equal.
It's about how we're viewed. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's about giving Ireland a loud and clear signal that we are equal. And for as long as that article remains in the Constitution, we're not. Ultimately, you know, I do think we have enough resources. There's 14,500 Gardaí out in the street. There's about nearly 2 billion in government investment going into the Guards, but it has to be targeted in the right way. And that national preventative strategy that the Department of Justice is talking about in terms of the third iteration of the new strategy has to be implemented. We have to ensure that the Gardaí answer their calls. We know earlier on in the pandemic, we heard about 999 calls not being answered. That cannot happen. So, you know, yes, we can talk about it. It's really important that we do. It's really good that we're having this conversation. I simply wanted to highlight it in the Dáil that, you know, no woman, no matter what position she holds, is impervious or to this type of assault, as we know. And the other thing that struck me, Ciara, and I think you've spoken about it before, is that, you know, the victim care strategy, the trauma awareness training, that should be mandated for all healthcare professionals. You know, these counselling notes that are, you know, brought in to be used against victims in cases, that shouldn't happen either. So there are a number of different, I suppose, actions that we can take out of this conversation.
Roisin, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I suppose, look, prevention is such a big part, but I mean, currently there are lots of victims and we need a victim-centred justice system. We need the charities that help
and
women
of
domestic violence.
And we know that victims of sexual violence in particular say that going through the justice system re-traumatises them and is sometimes as bad as anything that happened to them in the lead up to them taking a case.
It can be very horrific and you can be exposed and you're already vulnerable as it is, but then you go into a courtroom where you can often be demoralised completely and often with district courts and stuff, it's all very exposed and open and that's not what you need when you're being a victim of violence. And the other part is about prevention. This word consent has to become the norm and it should be a word we don't even have to use anymore because people know what to do. And like I have friends who give workshops on consent, but they find it very hard to get into schools before fourth year. They need to be coming in at fifth and sixth class. And parents need to be very aware of the role modelling they do with their kids.
I would agree with you. I think we leave this to when our children are practically adults before we discuss it. And of course, it becomes
too little, too late.
It becomes an issue long before that. If you had an idea, because I think I'd love an idea to come from this that we could use that's simple, beyond the system changes that we need. Yeah. What should men do? Josefa, what's your idea? You know what I'm asking. Something simple that people could take away from this and go, you do that and you'll make people feel safer on the streets. What's your idea, Josefa?
The first one is the UK has an app called the Hollyguard, which effectively adds extra protection to those who are travelling alone. So if somebody feels they are in danger, if they simply shake the phone, it activates the app and sends the location of where they are, an audio and a video to certain contacts. And I think if there was a budding Irish developer out there, perhaps who could look at doing something like that over here.
That would make women feel safer. I totally agree.
It would. And the second point then is the Citizens Assembly about the Special Oireachtas Committee on Gender Equality. That was due to be heard in the Dáil this week. It wasn't because of the motion no confidence. I've written to the Business Committee. I've asked them to expedite the hearing of that because these pertinent issues that we're talking about today can be interrogated forensically at that committee by parliamentarians like Erin and Roisin and myself so that we can
So put it on the agenda for the Citizens Assembly.
Yes.
And app. This is exactly what I'm talking about. What can we do practically? Erin, I don't mean to throw this curveball at you, but, you know, are there simple things, do you think, that people could do?
I think, and absolutely, that app, as Joseph has spoken about. But I think we have to look at that. And Shane spoke about this on a women's issue. This is not a woman's issue and it is a society's issue. It's a man's issue. And I think, you know, we have the state and the church have perpetuated, you know, this attitude that and women are almost passengers in a society that men have created, a male bias constitution we all have already spoken about. And, you know, sex has been taken for granted by men and, you know, and women had to suppress sex. You know, we see it in mother and baby homes. We see the Magdalen laundries. We have to look at where are we coming from as a society? Look deeper.
I think you're right. There is a continuum in this country, and probably in all countries, but in this country is the one we're talking about,
absolutely,
of how women have been treated.
Kira, this week, we spoke about that, and we spoke about harassment last night in the Shannon. We had a debate on harassment in third level institutions and across society. But this is a man issue. This is a male issue. And until, you know, there's men sitting around here and not three women or four women on a radio show speaking about this, it's when there's men speaking up and when being very, very conscious that this is a men issue and not a female issue. It is not our fault that we are potential victims. It is their fault that they are potential criminals.
I think that's very powerful. The hair is standing up on the back of my neck.
Yeah, Roisin. Like, I think the men have to own this issue. And there are so many good men who are not the perpetrators, but the majority of perpetrators are male. So what would be really helpful would be if men would own the issue and would take it on and have good role models, have work. You know, there's lots of famous men, lots of sports guys, lots of famous celebrities, and they probably are horrified by these statistics as well. And they don't want their daughters treated that way, or their sisters or their mothers. So we need them to step up and own this issue and put it out there that this is not acceptable behaviour. Because I think as young men, sometimes maybe they're under pressure to push themselves on women because they think that's kind of a bravado thing. And that needs to be dismissed by the good men. We have lots of good men.
You're not wrong. We need male allies in this.
We do.
Because men, whether we like it or not, continue to run the
we
world.
We need them to help
we
us.
We need male allies as on this. And I like very much what Erin just said. I like everything Erin just said, but I like very much what you said, that we need to hear men around the table going, what can we do? Because we already know what we do. We already jog home and we already walk in the middle of the road and we already pick out the street lights that we're going to get to and we already carry the phones and carry the keys and all that business. Josefa, would you like to add anything? We're almost out of time, but there's great conversation around this.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that your panel is saying today, but we also need more women like me to say what happened to them, like Roisin just did, to not be afraid. And we need families to support their loved ones because, you know, if we don't speak out, we suffer alone because we're remaining silent. And if we look at the marriage referendum and repeal the 8th, our stories are the most powerful tools to change minds on social issues. And I really think by women speaking out, or men speaking out on behalf of their women, it can help change the world.
Look, thank you to the three of you very much for speaking to us this morning. I do think this is a very important conversation and I'm very grateful for you all for having it with me. To Erin McGreehan, Fianna Fáil Senator, to Roisin Garvey, Green Party Senator, and to Minister for State Responsibility for Special Education and Inclusion, Josefa Madigan.